Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our Tuesday evening lesson summary review. Tonight, we're continuing with our review of the lessons from our course entitled Who Jesus Is. And we're on session 6 this week, which is entitled Jesus, the Light of the World. Now, this session will help students understand why Jesus came to be the light of the world, and how that helps each of us as individuals, as well as how people react to the light. And as we always do, we're going to take time to prepare our hearts, and we don't take for granted that just because students are studying in a Bible college program that they have surrendered their life to Jesus. So for those of you who are in our listening audience, whether you're a student or you're listening to the archive of this message, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to ask God to open your understanding that you might see your need for the Lord. And as we continue to study through these courses, we know that Christian growth and maturity, it takes time and effort, students. And these things are closely related to our prayer life, our time of Bible study, our fellowship with other maturing believers. And so I want you to make sure that you confirm your study in the Word as you ask God to give you insight into the spiritual truths that we've studied and that we're going to review tonight. Now let's go ahead and get a word of prayer in even now. Father, we thank you. Today we praise you. We give you glory and honor. I thank you for every student, every staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary. I thank you for every person who's listening to this teaching tonight. I pray that if they have not already surrendered their lives to God, to Jesus, if they have not understood what it means to receive you as the personal Lord and Savior, I pray tonight that you will reveal yourself to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will open their understanding, that they might see their need for the Lord tonight. And I ask that your Spirit of God will come alive in them and cause growth and maturity, that they may not only come to know you, but they may lead others to know you as well. So we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, students, I welcome you to our Tuesday evening lesson summary review. Tuesday is the night that we go over our associate's degree courses, and we're on our second course of our Associate's in Christian Theology program. This course is entitled Who Jesus Is. And again, we're on session 6 this week, which is entitled Jesus, the Light of the World. And so that's what we're going to be reviewing tonight from our study guides. For those of you who have already been studying this course, you've already been exposed to some of the material that we're going to cover tonight. And I pray that this review will help you get a little better depth of understanding about the material. Now, if you think about the introduction for this week's lesson, I want you to think about various objects that give forth light. It may be a household light that's attached to your ceiling. It may be a lamp that you have in your room, headlights on your car, perhaps, or a flashlight. Even if you have an electronic device, tablets, computers, they all give off light. So I want you to think about these things and think about what is the source of that light. The light is simply a manifestation of something that is producing power that illuminates itself in the form of light to us. But the light itself is not the source. It is not the power source. So we're going to be thinking about Jesus as the light of the world, and we're going to be thinking about the power that he has in order to be so, and how we also, as Jesus says, that we are the light of the world. What is our source? What is the source of our light? And I pray that tonight's lesson will help us to be able to understand this better. Now, if we think about an illustration of our need of ordinary light, some of you may have heard and laughed at the story of a man who had to get up in the middle of the night. He started to get out of his bed. His brain and body said go. That is, all except his toes. As his foot moved across the floor, his brain received a loud reminder of the pain of tripping over furniture in the dark. Turn on the light, the toes commanded. So we need to also note in our lives, saints, that the darkest time is just before dawn. Our lesson pointed to the fact that when the light first appears, we realize how glorious it is compared to darkness. It is difficult to appreciate light if you don't understand what darkness is and what darkness represents. And because those of us who have, so to speak, come to the light of Jesus Christ, we appreciate that warmth, that newness, that fellowship that we have with God that we did not have when we lived in darkness. There was an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah, and we can take a look or make note of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and it speaks of giving light to those who walked in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's going to be a good idea of what this lesson explores. We're going to explore the light for those who walk in darkness. We're going to explore the light for those who may be in the shadow of death. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, as our lesson outlined, is the answer to spiritual darkness. Now, let's take a look at our first point of our lesson. The first major heading that our lesson wanted us to review is the world needs light. Not only do we need light as individuals, but the lesson says that the world needs light. We know that Jesus came so that to save the world, that is all inhabitants of the world in every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation of the earth. So our first objective for tonight's review asks us to identify the reason why God sent Jesus to become the light of the world. And the first thing that we see in this section is that sin has brought darkness. You can write that down if you're taking notes with us. Sin has brought darkness, and this is one of the reasons why the world needs light, because the world has experienced or is experiencing the effects and effects of sin, which produces darkness in people's lives. Now, if we were to take a look at the account of the woman taken in the act of adultery, if you have not already reviewed this section, make note of John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Now, for those of you who have already studied the lesson, I'd like to ask you this question. What in this account indicates the hardness and darkness of men's hearts? Think about that portion of Scripture for just a moment. And as we examine the response that we should get out of this is that when we see the men made the woman stand in a group or among a crowd for one specific reason, first, to humiliate her. And I like to comment that according to the law of which these men had accused this woman of breaking, both parties who committed adultery were to be executed. It's interesting when we see the fact that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees did not bring in the man, but had obviously let him go. Now, this suggests that the incident may have been staged just to trap Jesus. This whole episode of exposing this woman to this humiliation, having this inward intent and motivation to trap Jesus, this shows true hardness or darkness of the heart. And it's another question that our course wanted us to think about is, what effect does the account that we just talked about have for our lives? If you were to take a look at John 8, chapter 8, verse 12, you'll see Jesus compares darkness with light in order to highlight the contrast between a life without light or Jesus and a life with light or Jesus. So it's like you use a transparency to add a different layer to things. And this is what Jesus' response was to those who brought this woman that they had accused of committing the act of adultery. Let me read his response in John 8 and 12 quickly for you. In verse 12, this is what Jesus says. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this should affect our lives. If we're following after Jesus, as he says, those who follow me, hallelujah, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we see that light was promised. This is the second section of why the world needs light. First reason is that sin has brought darkness. And then Jesus, we see in this particular text of scripture, that light was promised to all who follow after him. Now we can also make note of Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 6, as well as Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. If you were to take a look at these passages, they talk about the promised coming light as well. And then we can turn to the New Testament and we can see another scripture where Jesus, as the fulfillment of the prophecies that we read about, we know Jesus often stated that he did not come to do away with the law of the prophets, but he came to fulfill them. So we see 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And let's read that quickly. Verse 7 of John, 1 John 1 says, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So you see, the light that Jesus promised that we will walk in will purify us from sin or from darkness that sin produces. And this is why Jesus promised that we would walk in the light as he is in the light. So as we look at the early stages of our lesson review tonight, we understand more of the reason how we can proclaim that Jesus and how he proclaimed himself in Scripture as the light of the world. So the world needs light. Sin has brought darkness, and the light has been promised to us. There are several other verses that I want to refer you to look at this example. Make note of John chapter 1, verse 4, as well as John chapter 9, verse 5, and where we'll see that the written word is also referred to as light. There's an Old Testament scripture, I believe somewhere in Psalms, that says, Let the word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so this is a very common concept. We know in the beginning of the scripture text from the Old Testament, Genesis, which is the first book of our Bible, says that in the beginning, the Lord said, Let there be light, that the earth was void and full of darkness. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And so the need for light or being things being exposed or being receiving the energy and the strength of God has always been something that was central to God's purpose. Okay, so we see the world needs light. Now let's understand what light does. Our second objective of our course asks us to identify four ways Jesus helps you and others because he is the light of the world. So it's great that Jesus is the light of the world, but what does that mean? How does that benefit us? So our lesson talks about these things. We know first from our review thus far that the world needs light because sin has brought darkness. And then Jesus promised light. So what does this light do? What does it bring into our life? The first thing that this section of our lesson talked about is that light drives away darkness. Now, if you think about an illustration, there's a place in Kentucky called Mammoth Cave. And during the tour of the cave, the guide shuts off the lights. And the reason they do this is to show how complete the darkness is when there is a total absence of light. So, actually, by definition, darkness is the absence of light. And so if we think about that situation about the tour guide turning off the lights inside of a cave, which you would not be able to see without the lights being illuminated, and he proves this how total darkness blinds us from being able to see anything around us. So we're going to look at an exercise sheet here that will also give us some ideas about the benefit of light, or what does light do, or why light is needed in our life. Just as in the case of navigating the cave, people would not be able to see their way in or out if they're away from the outside source of light. And same thing is similar with our life. We would not be able to find our way in life. That is, productively, without stumbling and bumping into things. And most of us can relate to what that life was like before we yielded ourselves or surrendered ourselves to Christ, which is the light not only of the world, but he is also a light to us. So here are some of the things that this exercise sheet wanted us to take a look at. And you can always contact us for a copy of the exercise sheets, and we'll provide them. Here's some scripture text I want you to write down. Get a blank sheet of paper, and you can write these things down. And I'm asking you to read the following scriptures, which identify what darkness is symbolic of in scripture. The first scripture I'm going to give you is Job chapter 37, verse 39. Job 37, verse 19, that is. Again, number one, Job 37, chapter 37, verse 19. This is the first scripture reference that I'm giving you to identify what darkness is symbolic of in scripture. A second scripture I'm going to give you is Psalm chapter 107, verse 10. Next, I want you to make note of Psalm chapter 88, verses 10 through 12. After that, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13. And then finally, I want you to take a look at or make note of Matthew chapter 22, verse number 13. Each of these scriptures that I have given you will speak to what darkness is represented of in people's lives. And so if you've already reviewed those, and as you review them, here are the things that you should get out of each of those scripture texts. For the first text that I gave you, you should see that darkness is symbolic of ignorance or a lack of knowledge. A second thing we see from the second scripture is that darkness is symbolic of calamity and distress. A third thing that we see darkness symbolic of in the scriptures that I gave you was death. Fourthly, we see darkness symbolized wickedness. And finally, the fifth scripture that I gave you is an example of how darkness is symbolic of damnation or condemnation or judgment in a negative sense of the word. So there we understand that light drives away darkness. And why is that necessary? Because each of us have sin, and sin produces darkness, and the light that Jesus promises takes the darkness away. And so as we understand from this course so far that who Jesus is, Jesus, this session six is dealing with Jesus, the light of the world, and we're understanding why. Let's look at another thing that light does. A second thing that light does, besides driving away darkness, is light reveals. Light reveals. And I like to note that this section of our lesson focuses on a major function of the light of God's word. The word of God is sometimes likened to light as well. Jesus is the living word. So, of course, Jesus is the light of the world. His word is a light. It reveals things to us. It reveals the innermost thoughts and intents of our heart. So let me ask you this question. Why does the scripture say that men love darkness rather than light? Now, for a reference, you can make note of John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, which gives us the answer. And to paraphrase that portion of scripture basically says that men love darkness because they think their evil deeds are hidden from God's sight. But here's a follow-up question. Realizing that some people love darkness because they think that it provides a cover for their sin as if it will be hidden from God. But can anything be hidden from God? If you were to make note of Luke chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, and also make note of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Now, if you have not already done so, read those portions of Scripture. And it is clearly revealed in Scripture that there's nothing that God does not know. There's no place we can go to hide, for the light of Jesus reveals the darkness that is in our lives, that is in our heart, that is in our thoughts. And this is why people feel guilty and ashamed and try to hide in darkness. We notice in the case of Adam and Eve way back in the book of Genesis that they tried to hide from God because of the guilt and the shame. But God knew that they had sinned. And God knows when we've sinned because our conscience speaks for us. And so light reveals things. This is why Jesus came, to be the light of the world, to reveal the hidden places of our lives, that we, not to shame us, not to condemn us, but that we may recognize these things as contrary to God and repent and turn back to Him. So light reveals. It casts out darkness, it reveals. Here's a third thing that light does. Light is energy, or produces energy or power in our lives. For illustration of this, one of the easiest ways to observe light as energy is to watch a person for a period of time as they stand or lie in the sunlight. If the skin is not tan or overexposed, if it is, then they experience what's called a sunburn. We can't necessarily see it happening just in a quick moment, but over the duration of time, exposure to light, sunlight in this case, shows that the light has energy or a power or an effect upon our lives. And so this shows that as we expose ourselves to the light of Christ, He produces change in us. It may take away the things that are negative in our lives, and prayerfully it will also provide a source of energy to bring newness into your life. Think about a plant or any living thing, of vegetation. It needs light in order to live and to produce. And similarly, we need the light of Jesus Christ in our lives to produce spiritual fruit and to blossom and to grow in the things of God. Now, here's a final thing, a fourth thing that light does. Light is impartial. It shines on both the just and the unjust. So we can note that God's mercy is intended for all men. The light of Jesus, the love of Jesus, is impartial. He is not a respecter of persons. You can see an example of this in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. This passage focuses on God's impartial care of men. You can see another example in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 45, which speaks of His causing, as I mentioned earlier, the sun to shine on the evil and the good, or the just and the unjust. So we as believers are to exhibit the same impartiality as we reflect the light of Jesus in our relations with all people as well. This is a great reminder of why Jesus commanded His disciples and all believers who follow after Him to preach the gospel to all nations, every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation of the earth. God is impartial. Now, if we think about what we just studied for just a moment, think about the willingness of Jesus to reveal light to men and how important light is to our existence, to any living thing. Think about how important light is to it. And I want you to think or write down in your own words the story of blind Bartimaeus that is found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And as you read that portion of Scripture and as you review it, I want to ask you this. Because of Jesus' willingness to give him sight, how was this man named Bartimaeus' life changed? And also think about how your life has changed. Or if you have not come to Christ, think about the things that you wish or pray could change or would change in your life. The light of Jesus is available for all people is what this lesson teaches us. It is impartial. So we see the four things that we learn about what light does. Light drives away darkness. Light reveals. Light is energy, and light is impartial. Now, the next section of our lesson talks about how people react to the light. The third objective wants us to decide how you will respond to Jesus, the light of the world. Now, some people respond to the light by rejecting it. We can look briefly at the life of King Saul from 1 Samuel chapters 9 to 13. We see he was anointed with oil, signifying his being separated to the Lord and equipped for a certain task, yet he rejected God's direction in order to fulfill his own will. And if we think about, if you read that text about Saul, we see what happened as a result of Saul's rejection of God's guidance or rejection of the light. What did it bring about in his life? Well, we see in 1 Samuel 15:28 that he lost his position as king. We see next that he was unhappy. We see that he failed to teach his children spiritual lessons. We see that he consulted a witch for life directions. We see his actions cost the life of his son. And we finally see that his actions, which is to reject God's guidance, cost him his life. Now, on the opposite end, some people will accept the light or guidance of God. So let me comment that God has made some wonderful promises, just like Jesus says, his light will be upon all those who follow him or serve him. So if we look at the story that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, concerning the two foundations. We see in the story the storms come and test every part of the house, especially the foundation. And in that text, the house represents our life. The things that come against us are the storms and the winds and waves. Jesus says, a wise man builds his house upon a rock, which is God's word, or his guidance, his direction, God's will for them. And so the most important part of a building is the foundation. And the same thing about our life. We must have a solid foundation. Just as rocks or concrete may be a foundation for natural building, the Word of God is the rock or foundation for our life. And this is another reason why it is important to have a solid foundation to build upon. So this is why accepting Jesus and his ways or light is to be the foundation for our life. So in conclusion, I want you students to be able to share a simple plan of accepting Christ as Lord. If you have not accepted Christ tonight, I pray that you would simply yield yourself and just confess to him that, Father, I've gone my own way in this area that way, but I want to receive your guidance tonight. I believe if you say that simple prayer and you commit to the light of God, he will give you direction for life. And also think about what Christ's light means to you if you've already accepted Christ as a reminder to what the difference the light of having Jesus in your life means. And I pray that you will use this as a daily reminder as you go through your task, because we, as he is, we are to be the light of the world. So may we exhibit his light, his love, his peace, his joy, his acceptance to the world around us. Thank you so much, students, for reviewing this lesson with me tonight. I'll look forward to our next session. In the meantime, God bless you, and good night.